Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message, brought to you by Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. If you would like to listen to this message again or previous messages, as well as the Central Minutes, you can listen to them on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. And now, the Central Message.
Good morning, Central Park. It's great to be back with you again this morning. Again, I don't like the fact that we're using social media to gather, but hopefully here soon we'll be back together. And just keep in mind that the elders and myself and Dustin are evaluating this as we go along, and we are hopeful that we'll be back together soon. Today we're going to continue our series, The Adjectives of Christmas, and today specifically we're talking about a word, rejoice, and we'll be looking through Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, specifically verse 10, as we go along with this. One of my favorite things to do when I go to Terre Haute is go to White Castle. That's right, everybody loves White Castle, right? We all, well, not everybody. My wife can't stand it. So I know when I go to Terre Haute by myself, I'm going to wind up going to White Castle. And I always get the same thing, a number one with cheese. You have to add a jalapeno cheese on it. Well, the other day I was in Terre Haute, so I stopped at White Castle, got my usual, and was driving home. I'm eating in my car again. This time I'm not on my cell phone. I'm just driving home, enjoying a nice meal, quiet, enjoying the time. And all of a sudden, I begin to choke. Choking on a White Castle. Can you imagine how bad that is? Think about it. Here you are. You're choking on a White Castle. You're in a car all by yourself. And the only thing I could think of was, oh my goodness, I'm going to die alone in this car. And it got so bad that I actually had to pull over, get out of my car. I thought I had to do the Heimlich maneuver on myself. I was choking so bad. You know how they say when you go through something like that, they always say that somehow your life flashes right before your eyes. Well, that was true in this moment. You know, all of the great things that have been in my life, you know, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my ministries, my jobs, all of those things flashed through my eyes. And the only thing that I could think of in that moment was, oh no, someone is going to put on my tombstone, here lies a man who died from eating White Castle. That's the only thing I could think of. And so I'm choking on this White Castle. I finally get out of my car and get it taken care of. I truly thought I was going to die alone on the side of the road in Terre Haute. You ever feel all alone? I think the unique thing about Christmas season especially is that we can often wind up feeling all alone. And especially for those who have lost loved ones during Christmas, those who have experienced pain and sorrow during this season. And, I think the wise men were no different in this. Here they are, they're traveling a great distance. It doesn't tell us how far they had to travel, but we know that they had to travel. And so it was part of their journey. They were alone. They had to experience hardship in a very specific way. But the wise men were following the star. And by the way, December 21st, 2020, December 21st is a great opportunity because the Bethlehem star is coming back. It's been 800 years since this star appeared, and we get to experience that in our lifetime. What an amazing thing. And so my daughter, we have a family group chat. My daughter sent it to us and was talking about it, not because it was a star, not because it might signify, you know, Jesus coming back or all of the things that we love about Christmas, but it was so much more about December 21st is her birthday. And so she was excited that this was happening on her birthday. And so I was like, okay, that makes sense, you know. But, you know, speaking of the wise men and following the star, you know, there's some great misconceptions out there about the wise men. You know, the first one is how many there were. We often think in terms of threes because that's what we've seen in the plays and, you know, all of the huge nativity sets, you know, all of those things. We've seen those. But it just describes them as plural. Wise men. It doesn't describe how many. And so maybe somewhere along the way, someone was thinking about it, and, you know, two is too few and four is too many. Three is perfect. So we're going with three. You may have also seen that wise men, sometimes they have names, you know. I think there's Casper and Balthazar and one other name. I can't remember right off the top of my head. But what they did is that's just through history and the tradition of naming people. People have to have names. So somewhere around Tertullian age, I think, is when they decided to give these three names. And so if you see that just know that's where it's coming from. But they didn't have names. There wasn't three specifically, but we just know that a group of wise men, which, you know, it's wise men, they decided to follow this star to where Jesus was born. And so as we go through this, I want you to be thinking on a couple things. First of all, I like the fact or the thought that, like the wise men, when we follow God, we are never alone. If you look at Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start in, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 2. We're going to start at the midway of verse 9. It says, "And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star," in verse 10, "they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." Here they are, they've come to the end of this journey. They've suffered through all of that aloneness. They've suffered through the threats and the harm that could have come to them just to come and worship Jesus and to experience that. And when they saw the star had reached the child, they saw the star, they rejoiced with this exceeding joy. And it just flowed through them. You see, I think here's the point. When we are like the wise men, when we follow God, we are never alone. And so here in Matthew chapter 2, you have this story of the wise men. But if you look at the end of chapter 1, you see something very special. You see something in verse 23. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel." Now, this word Emmanuel simply means God with us. Here they are experiencing this in the very realness of who Jesus is in the moment of his birth, and their experience is just releasing this joy that they had in their life. You see, these wise men, magi, if you will, they were most likely Jews who had followed astrology and followed this star to where Jesus was. So I want to just give you a couple things here. When you're feeling alone, like these guys were in this moment, when you're feeling alone, know this, that all signs point to God. Secondly, when the world is on your shoulders, think of the courage of the wise men. Think of what they went through. And the danger is that in this moving forward and following these new horizons and fear in these far directions, that I lose what I have now and not find anything except loneliness. So that's a partial quote from Sylvia Plath, and what she's saying here is that when the weight of the world is on our shoulders and we're feeling like moving towards new horizons, we're finding these new directions in life, the fear is always to look back on that journey and be afraid that we're only going to find loneliness and be alone again. See, the wise men risked it all for the hope of something greater. Matthew 28, what does God say? I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. See, we're never alone when it comes to knowing God and being part of His kingdom. Secondly, like the wise men, we face great adversity when we follow God. It's just a part of life. When we follow God, we face this massive adversity. But, you know, the wise men, they kept going. We don't have a lifetime. We didn't know how far they've traveled. We don't know the distance. We don't know the timing. We don't know their exact location when they started. We don't even know when all of this took place for certain. But we know this. We know that they faced trials along the way. We know that they faced a king, they faced power, they faced death, they faced uncertainty, they faced fear, they faced aloneness, loneliness. And Roy Bennett wrote this, and Roy, he really brings to mind how we transition out of some of the hardest times. He writes, "Keep going. Your hardest times often lead to the greatest moments of your life. Keep going. Keep going. Tough situations always build people in the end. Tough situations always build strong people in the end." I think we, like the wise men, have a secret weapon. And if you were to look at Deuteronomy 31, it talks about not being afraid. Do not panic. Do not stop. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. And here's the key phrase in that text. He will neither fail or abandon you. While we face adversity in life, it's going to come. No matter what we do, we're always going to find it. It's always going to happen. But it's how we approach that adversity that makes the difference. Do we approach that adversity with the understanding that God loves us beyond comparison, that God is protecting us and God is comforting us and God is guiding us? Or do we panic? Are we going to go into this new season with fear and frustrations? Or are we going to realize that God is personally going before us because He loves us? And God will never abandon you, and He will never fail you. Third, like the wise men, we do not always understand God's ways. I often have to look back and over my life and say, God, what were you thinking? You know, you ever had to say that before in your life? God, what were you doing in that moment? You know how they say hindsight's always 20/20, and you can look back over your life and you can see the moments of where God is working in your life. You can look back and see all of the ways that God brought something out of nothing. So, like the wise men, we don't always understand God's ways. And so to this, I offer this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. John 14:27. You see, things happen in our lives, and we may never understand why God led us through that mess of life. But I know this, and I agree with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross when she wrote, "The most beautiful people we have ever known are those who have known defeat, known suffering, known struggle, known loss, and have found their way out of the depths. These persons have an appreciation, a sensitivity, if you will, and an understanding of life that fills them with compassion, it fills them with greatness, and with a deep, loving concern." And here's the last part of a quote that hits me every time I think about it. "Beautiful people just don't happen That's powerful when you realize that you are being made beautiful through that journey of adversity and that struggle that you feel you're in. Beautiful people just don't happen. Wow, that's powerful. You see, through this message, I want you to understand that we are never alone, that God is with us, and that adversity comes and goes, but God will never abandon or fail you. I hope that through this holiday season, that you find peace in this journey. Peace be your journey. I hope that as you approach this Christmas season, whether you're struggling with that loneliness or that fear of being alone, or you're in the midst of that struggle, whatever it is, that you find God faithful, that you allow God to work in your life and go before you and carry you through that adversity and that struggle. Because I know this, you're beautiful. You didn't just happen. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by God Himself. You are beautiful. As you go through this journey, remember that. Remember God's love for you and the way that He gave Himself so that we might have life everlasting. That through His death, His burial, and resurrection, we have that life. See, in this Christmas season, we celebrate by giving gifts and all of these things. And what we truly need to give is the realization that we're honestly going through something, that we're struggling, that we failed, we've fallen short, that we've sinned, that we continue to do stupid things, and allow God to take that from us and move us beyond that. See, as He goes before us, may we find peace. May we find joy in the adversity that comes and goes. And one day, at the end of that, perhaps we can sit down like the wise men at the foot of the cross or at the feet of Jesus as they did, and simply rejoice for what God has done in our lives. Even though we may not have understood it, even though we failed to put two and two together and figure it out, now that we're on the other side of it, perhaps we can simply rejoice with exceeding joy for what God has done in our lives. Peace be your journey, my friends. You know, keep in mind that God loves you no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how far you've run from Him. God loves you and wants to be there for you. See, you have a decision to make this holiday season. You can continue down your same old path, doing the same old things the same way you've always done them. Or you can accept the love of Christ and allow Him to change you, transform you, and walk with you. Perhaps you're listening today and, you know, you've already accepted Christ and are struggling with what to do or how to move forward beyond some struggle that you're facing. And the way to do that today is simple. Cry out to Him. Allow Christ to work in you and remove all of that struggle that you're facing in your life. We may not understand it. We don't understand why we're going through that season that we're in today. But we're here, and God has you right where He wants you for this moment in time, if you'll just trust in Him. If it's prayer, we'll pray with you. Whatever your need is, won't you come as we pray today that God, whatever that need is that He's laid on your heart today, you're free to share that with us. Just drop us a note in the message here. You can text me and call us. You can email us, and we'll be praying for you for whatever it is you're facing in this life. Whatever struggle you find yourself in today, you truly can rejoice knowing that God is going before you and bringing you peace and comfort and rest. If you just trust in Him, you'll find peace in this journey. You, my friends, are beautiful. May God bless you. We love you. We'll see you soon. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this ministry that we share in together and the way that you are bringing us out of this darkness, out of the depths of the struggles of life. You are going before us, caring for us, and this allows us to rejoice in our soul, to rejoice exceedingly with great joy, as the text says, because we know that this season celebrates the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the presents. It's not about the meals. It's not even about our family gatherings. It's about spending time with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Emmanuel, God with us. And we honor that this season, and we look forward to worshiping you and in truth and spirit. And Father, as we move forward together, may you open our hearts and our minds that we can see this journey that you have for us as we follow you today. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our message today. If you have heard anything in this message that spoke to your heart, please don't let this moment pass. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is an important decision, and I don't want an opportunity to pass for someone to come to God in need and to have all those needs met and sins forgiven. If you would like to accept Jesus into your heart today, you can do so right now. If you have chosen to follow Jesus today, it is important to be connected with fellow Christians in a real and personal way and to publicly profess your faith through baptism. If you don't have a church home, you are welcome to become part of the Central Park Church of Christ family. You may want to find a local congregation closer to your home. But whatever you do, find a place where you can learn and be spiritually nourished and where you can serve others. If you would like to speak to a minister, please contact the minister of your local church or call Central Park Church of Christ to speak to one of our ministers. Call the church office at 217-446-8947 and leave a message. Thank you for listening to the Central Message.